Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with a lesson on self-control and self-discipline. You can see from the whiteboard that I've got a chart or a diagram, and I've divided the issue into non-Christian areas and Christian areas. And I want to define self-control and relate it to self-discipline, give the purpose for self-control and the end or the goal of self-control for both the Christian and the non-Christian. Here's the text I'm using. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 24 through 27. Listen to the New American Standard Version. Do you not know that those who run in a race run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control. There's our word, self-control. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. You see, Paul is laying out what occurs in the lives of non-Christians on one hand, and on the other hand, in the lives of those of us who profess faith in Jesus Christ. They, the non-Christian, do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim, I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that I have, so after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. You'll notice that the Apostle Paul connects self-control and discipline or self-discipline. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control. In verse 27, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Self-control and self-discipline are siblings. They're brother and sister. Now, from a non-Christian point of view, what does self-control involve? Self-control involves human effort. The effort of the heart and soul to control the body and the mind. Paul says, do you not know that those who run a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Exercise self-control in training and discipline yourself in training so that you may win. Let me give you a little example. When I was in high school, a buddy of mine and I lifted weights, and we lifted weights basically every day. We did upper body exercises on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and we did lower body exercises on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. This was our regimen, and we disciplined ourselves. We had a schedule, and we followed that schedule. You may have a schedule of activities you do throughout the day, and your discipline is that you, when you get up in the morning, you do your devotions and have a time of prayer, and then you get on with certain other planned activities. This is the discipline that you exercise. You go through a particular routine. And sometimes you have to grab yourself by the scruff of the neck and exercise some self-control so that you follow the discipline that you have outlined for yourself. And this is a very simple thing. Again, Paul compares the non-Christian with the Christian. Let's look further at the non-Christian. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. And so there's a sense in which non-Christians exercise self-control. And what is this self-control that they exercise? It's human effort. It's effort that springs from their own strength and their own willpower. They do what they do on the basis of the strength that they have within themselves. This was the idea when this buddy of mine and I lifted weights together. We determined that we were going to discipline ourselves and exercise a certain self-control over our own bodies and go through regular routines of exercise. Some of you may run a certain distance every day, and you have to exercise a certain self-control in order to proceed with that run. You exercise certain human effort in order to carry out this exercise scheme and this discipline. And what is the desire that you have? What is the purpose of this exercise of human effort and human will? Verse 24 again. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. So, exercise self-control in order that you may cross the finish line first and you may have a certain pride in yourself for finishing first. You see, those who exercise self-control, who are basketball players and football players, exercise extensive human effort. And when the basketball player runs down the court and leaps into the air and throws the basketball into the hoop, when that player lands on the court, often that player thumps his chest. Human pride. This is what I've done. And the football player, when he catches a pass in the end zone and then is praised by his teammates, flexes his muscles. Human pride. What's the purpose of the exercise of this self-control? Human pride. I remember this very well with regard to lifting weights. After going to West Point, I continued to lift weights on a regular basis, and I'd go to the gym or I'd go to the field house and lift weights. And I remember on one occasion, I went down to the field house and was lifting weights and expending a lot of effort, human effort. I was exercising self-control. I was pushing those weights and controlling myself. And when my time with the weights was over, I noticed that some of the football players were observing me and asking the question, "Who is that?" And there welled up within me great pride, human pride. This was the purpose of my lifting weights, so that I could pat myself on the back. What a thing this is. And of course, human pride and human praise as the end in view, or the goal in view, is what takes place. Again, verses 24 and 25 in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control. They do it to receive a perishable wreath." They want the praise of men. They do it to receive human praise in the end. That's the great idea. And they will have a legacy. Every president of the United States, when he is in office, is asked the question with regard to his legacy. What will remain, and what will men and women in the country praise him about when he has left office? He wants a legacy. He has as a great goal human praise. And so he may exercise self-control in carrying out his duties, so that he may pride himself and receive the praise of men and women in the end. But on the Christian side, it's a little bit different. Christians must also exercise human effort. But what happens with regard to the idea of self-control when one becomes a Christian? Yes, you can exercise human effort and control yourself to a point. But you will not properly control yourself, and as the Apostle Paul says, flee from youthful lusts, for example. You will not control yourself and flee from the sins of the world. Self-control from a Christian perspective is quite different. Listen to Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." The very thing that we're talking about here. "Against such things there is no law." There is a law about exercising human effort and human will to pursue that which is contrary to the law of God. You see, there's a law against adultery. There's a law against lying. There's a law against stealing. And the moral law of God prohibits these things. And the moral law of God prohibits human pride and the praise of men. Why are we in the business of self-control when we are non-Christians? In order to receive the praise of men, to worship the creature rather than the Creator. But now, the Spirit of God comes along in each of our lives. And the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is self-control. In other words, from a Christian perspective, self-control is God-control. This is the way I like to put it. Self-control is God-control, because true Christian self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, let's understand what we're talking about here. We're talking about here the idea of sanctification. And sanctification is a cooperative effort with God and with the Spirit of God. The new birth, on the other hand, is completely of God. God gives the new birth sovereignly without any decision on our part. But self-control as the fruit of the Spirit involves the exercise of human effort for godly means and purposes. Self-control in the end is therefore God-control. And what is the purpose of self-control as God-control, as a fruit of the Spirit? Well, let's go back and look at what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul says, now speaking from a Christian perspective, "Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim." You see, Paul has a purpose and a goal. He has an aim. He has an end toward which he is moving. "I box in such a way as not beating the air." Paul is not simply engaged in shadow boxing, in boxing his shadow as it appears on the wall. No. Paul has a specific goal and a specific aim. But he says in verse 27, "But I discipline my body." See, I exercise self-control and discipline myself. I bring my body and everything that is associated with my body under the control, under the controlling influence of what God desires. And I'm able to do this because self-control from a Christian perspective is a fruit of the Spirit. Verse 27 again. "But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." You see, Paul wants to live his life in such a way that he's assured of the fact that his life supports the proposition, the statement, that he is indeed a Christian, that his confession is Jesus Christ as Lord, and that he follows Jesus Christ as Lord, that therefore his life becomes a way of assuring himself that he actually is a Christian. This is the idea. "I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." What a wonderful thing this is. And so, self-control becomes a means of assurance. If you actually do exercise self-control and discipline yourself, this is a way of assuring yourself that you are indeed a Christian and that you're headed for heaven. Verse 25 again. "Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, the praise of men," human praise, "but we an imperishable." And what is the imperishable wreath? The crown of life. Heaven. Coming to heaven. And so the exercise of self-control becomes part of the way of life for every Christian who says they believe in Christ, and they show that they believe in Christ by the way they live, and they live exercising self-control and self-discipline. And they're able to do this under God because self-control in the end is a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is God-control. You see, I think this is the key that you must remember. From a Christian perspective, since self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, from a Christian perspective, self-control is God-control. And when you exercise self-control and self-discipline, you follow the way of God. And you therefore gain in the matter of assurance that you are indeed on the way to heaven. Thanks for listening.